The Green Valley News for Monday, December 29th, here on Sun Sounds of Arizona, Mark DeGroff with you. One of Arizona's most prolific muralists has purchased a home in Tubac as he tackles a busy schedule stretching into the next year. "I like the greenery, I like the mountains," Mariel Mori Morhan told his family's new home, just north of Tubac Village, home to about 80 art galleries. "Tubac, to me, makes it feel like I'm at home in my roots as an artist," Morhan said, explaining why he moves from Casa Grande, where he will keep an office. The Morhans bought the Tubac home with a casita, swimming pool, and space for a tennis court in November in a quiet upscale neighborhood. Morhan, 44 years old, estimates that he's painted more than 3,200 murals in Arizona since 2005. Speed painting is among his talents, and it's not unusual for Morhan to paint a 100-by-6-foot backyard mural on cinder block in 3 hours. Such was the case this month when he traveled to Oro Valley to create a colorful desert scene at a private residence. "I try to paint one painting a day," he said at his Tubac home, where he has adorned his own backyards with tile frame murals. His growing popularity in Arizona has led to a calendar that is filled with future projects. He has about 60 murals scheduled in 2026 so far through his business, Arizona Murals, LLC. Some of his customers complain about having to look at their drab block walls. "I got to tell people who tell me, do whatever you want. Whatever, when I get back, I just don't want to see that wall," he said with a smile. "And it's fun to create something different every day. And after doing this for 20 years, it's still fun to do it." He's been contracted by the cities of Maricopa and Casa Grande a number of times to produce murals at parks and other government facilities, and he's also completed murals in Ajo, Bisbee, and in Yuma. His public murals in Maricopa, where herds of wild horses roam on an adjacent Gila River Indian Community reservation lands, have included natural designs on small fiberglass horses and a 25-square-foot wild horse-themed mural on the utility company water storage tank. He also paints smaller portraits and naturescapes. The interior walls of Morhan's home exhibit a number of his Spanish-style and history-themed portraits, but on a much smaller scale. Some of his oil paintings have been sold at auction. He's created an unknown number of backyard murals in Suarita and Green Valley, and he's looking forward to future projects as far away as Nevada. He tends to work without any projections or sketches, painting directly from his mind straight to the wall. He painted key nature pieces of Arizona, the Santa Rita Mountains, Sedona, and the Grand Canyon on elevator doors at the Canoa Ranch Golf Resort in 2019. It was his first project in the Green Valley, Suarita area. Born and raised in Cienfuegos, Cuba, and a political refugee, Morhan immigrated to the United States in 1999 when tensions were high between Cuba and the United States. Him and his wife, Blanca, have 4 children, Delilah, Violet, Ulysses, and Galilea, and he took the oath to become a naturalized U.S. citizen in 2007 and was a truck driver for 5 years upon arrival in the United States and did his painting on the weekends. He began his artwork at the age of 15 and sold paintings to help his mother during Cuba's economic crisis following the fall of Cuba's ally, the Soviet Union. Morhan has also won numerous awards, especially in plea and air competitions. He placed first in the Glendale plea and air competition in 2014, 15, 16, 17, and 2019. He earned the People's Choice Award in 2015 at the Escalante Yupa Plea and Air Festival and received international recognition for his work at the National Museum in Catalonia, Spain. He charges $30 per linear foot for backyard wall murals, while commercial jobs are closer to $100 per linear foot. That commands roughly $3,000 for a 100-foot linear wall. Commercial and public sector projects run a little bit higher. Global Water Resources paid Morhan $10,000 for a wild horses-themed water tank mural. Morhan said that the actual painting of a large-scale mural is not the hardest part of the job. It's the associated equipment involved and sometimes following public and commercial customs' strict specifications. The hardest part is going up and down the scaffolding and the hydraulic lift, Morhone said. Other than that, the murals are easy for me to create. The Pima County Health Department is looking to make more trips to Green Valley, Amato, and Aravaca, now that it has a new mobile clinic ready to roll after more than a year since funding was finally approved. The Board of Supervisors unanimously okayed $313,582 for the clinic in June of 2024 to replace one of four in the fleet. County staff told supervisors at the time that the fleet had become so old that they were no longer reliable. PCHD Title X Program Manager Michelle Moore said the department is already making plans to send the new clinic outside of Tucson's city limits. We've been waiting for a while, and it was essentially released to us just last week, she said on December 18th. The new clinic is functionally the same as the old models, but Moore said it does have a few more bells and whistles. The similarity functionality doesn't mean the clinic isn't bringing more to the table. Moore said the biggest bonus is being able to reach more rural areas in Pima County while still maintaining PCHD's scheduled visits to Tucson Unified School District campuses. The new clinic will be going to TUSD schools and rural areas. We're basically looking to go wherever needs are in the community, she said, adding it's especially important in areas where there are transportation and other access barriers to health care. PCHD offers partners with the county libraries to set up shop for its clinics around the community. Moore said PCHD reached out to Caviglia of Aravaca Library on December 18th to set up mobile clinic hours in the first quarter of next year. The same goes for Amato, but we might have to get a little more creative in where we stage a community event there, she said. Amato doesn't have a county library. The closest is the Joyner Green Valley Library, and that's 12 miles north up on Interstate 19. PCHD makes monthly visits to Green Valley, averaging 8 to 10 patients at each event. It doesn't sound like a lot, but it's a pretty comprehensive overview screening that we do, Moore said, adding that the clinics could still handle more patients during its events. She said the visit lengths can vary depending on what a patient needs, which can be STI screenings, reproductive health care, wound care, A1C screenings, blood pressure checks, and other services. We do our best to try to take immunizations down to Green Valley if we can, because the need has been expressed there, Moore said. PCHD takes people on a walk-in basis for the mobile clinics. Moore said that the new clinic will also allow the health department to schedule more Green Valley hours. She said PCHD has a clinic scheduled for 10 o'clock a.m. on February 5th through the Green Valley Council at its offices at 555 North La Cañada Drive. Moore said the county would put more information out on other visits as they are scheduled, adding that the health department needs a few more weeks to finalize the schedule for the first 3 months of 2026. If community members would like to request our attendance at an event, they're welcome to get in touch with me, Moore said, adding event organizers can call the Clinical Services Division at 520-724-8491. PCH Director Dr. Teresa Cullen reported in a December 16th memo that the new mobile clinic will launch a partnership with El Rio Health to expand service to those with limited access to traditional health care. It looks like behavior health is going to be a focus area. Some primary care as well as wound care are the things that we'll be discussing, Moore said about what the El Rio partnership brings to the mobile clinic. The partnership is being formalized, but we still have some logistics works to work out before we fully launch with El Rio. PCHD plans to have El Rio personnel available in the mobile clinics for the expanded services. Moore said the need for the expanded services under discussion had been brought up at past mobile clinic events around the community. We're really excited to bring services to more places and expand our geographic footprint all over the county, Moore said. I'm going to give you that number one more time. This is the Clinical Services Division, and it is at 520-724-8491. taking a look at the safety report from Green Valley from December 19th on. A Green Valley resident called the Pima County Sheriff's Department to report that her husband had become violent and obtained a gun after experiencing a bad reaction to his medication. Deputies arrived and confirmed it was a medical issue, and he was taken to the hospital. An Arivaca resident called the Sheriff's Department after colliding with a cow that ran away. The caller's car was heavily damaged. A 54-year-old Arivaca resident was arrested on suspicion of driving under the influence after Border Patrol agents came across him on Arivaca Road. A 27-year-old Green Valley resident was arrested on suspicion of driving under the influence after deputies pulled him over, suspecting that he was drunk. On December 22nd, a Green Valley woman called the Sheriff's Department to report her suspicions that a neighbor with whom she has had a ongoing dispute tampered with her landscaping irrigation system. Deputies provided resources. December 23rd, a Wrangler Ranch resident called the Sheriff's Department after noticing his shed was partly open after he saw a neighbor walking on his property. No arrests were made. A Green Valley resident called the Sheriff's Department to report a burglary in progress. Deputies learned that the suspect was a repairman and the landlord hadn't informed the tenant that he was coming. And a Green Valley resident went into the Sheriff's Department to report that a neighbor has been harassing them ever since they complained to their HOA about him. The resident said the neighbor showed up at his house with a holstered gun just the night before. Deputies documented the complaint and provided the resident with resources. And continuing on with Travels with Two Sisters, Education is Fun, Exploring Learning Environments Through the University of Arizona. Part 2. In Part 1, we described our experiences at the Tucson Festival of Books, which was on the University of Arizona campus, and our adventures exploring several other sites. Some of these include the Arizona State Museum, the Richard F. Karras Mirror Laboratory, the Stewart Observatory, the Underwood Garden, the USS Arizona Mall Memorial, the Tornabean Theater, the Women's Plaza of Honor, the San Javier Underground Mining Laboratory, which is off-campus, the Stevie Eller Dance Theater, the off-campus campus Agricultural Center, the Centennial Hall, and the Joseph Gross Gallery, and the Moroni Theater. In this article, we will share 10 more sites we have explored and have enjoyed on the University of Arizona main campus and its off-campus sites over the last 15 years. In the last few years, we've explored several historic sites in our adopted state of Arizona. It will be no surprise to many that we, over time, thoroughly enjoyed exploring the historic district at the University of Arizona. With a campus map and a camera in hand, we enjoyed spending time in the historic district listed on the National Register of Historic Places. The district consists of 18 structures in various early 20th century revivalist styles that are the historic core of the university. All 18 buildings are constructed of red brick with high quality details. The buildings listed in the historic district include the Gila Hall in 1937, Maricopa Hall 1921, Yuma Hall 1937, the Mines and Engineering Building 1918, Old Main 1887 through 1891, the Humanities Building in 1935, Science Hall in 1909, the University Library 1923 through 27, the Library and Museum Building in 1904, Centennial Hall 1936, Arizona State Museum 1935, Cochise Hall 1920, Arizona Hall 1913, Herring Hall 1903, the Agriculture Building 1915, the Arizona Administration Building 1937, and Stewart Observatory in 1921. We spent a lot of time on the university campus and were always impressed with the minute architectural details and quality workmanship of the historic structures. For those interested in locating some of the historic structures, maps of the University of Arizona campus are available online. Old Main, which is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, is located on East University Boulevard. This was the first building constructed, 1887 through 1891, on land that was previously owned by two gamblers and a saloon owner. The building lies within the boundaries of the U of A Historic District and is the only building in the center of the mall. This two-story brick structure with its balconies, white railings, impressive student wooden staircase, green circular plaza, and magnificent fountain is the most recognizable building on campus. And during several of our visits to the campus, we have seen tourists admiring and photographing this impressive and historic building. And the Native American Research and Training Center, that's located on East Helen Street, conducts health-related training and research that is aimed to improve the life of quality of life for Native Americans. On one occasion, we visited the center after reading an article in the Arizona Daily Star about one of their current projects. We were hoping to see the faces of Survivors Memorial. We were fortunate on that day. We were given a guided tour by the young man who had spearheaded the project that assisted a Native American cancer survivors to creatively express their emotional and physical journey. The result of the project was a brilliantly colored tile wall which contained several impressive masks of the survivors' faces, an impressive and emotional, thought-producing and moving experience. On to the U of A Museum of Art, located on North Olive Road. It's an interesting site to explore. During our visits, we had the opportunity to explore two permanent collections. The first was a Jacques and Eula Lipschitz exhibit containing some of the artist's sculptures, clay models, and some of his tools. On the second floor, we wandered through the other permanent exhibit containing fully restored medieval and Renaissance pieces of art. We also enjoyed the temporary exhibits of Andy Warhol and Salvador Dali, and in 2019 we attended a lecture on the Buffalo Soldiers by Dr. Michael Engs, who is owner of Arizona Heritage Tours. This is a museum that offers quality exhibits by a large variety of artists. And the Helen Schaefer Building and Poetry Center, which is located on East Helen Street, has been described by Steve Orlin as the best living room in America for reading poetry. The structure, built in 2007, has received several awards for its architectural design. We visited the Poetry Center in February of 2020 and agreed. This definitely is an intriguing, interesting, and unusual agricultural and architectural style that is worthy of praise. The building, with two walls of glass windows, is surrounded and enveloped by various angular designs, and over the courtyard there is a multi-level metal structure that is stunning. This is a building worth viewing. And the Flandrau Science Center and Planetarium, located on East University Boulevard, is a science center and a planetarium. This red brick building and its white dome, built in 1975, contains some impressive exhibits on Mars, fossils, and the solar system, and an interactive sharks exhibit. Our first introduction to the Science Center was in September of 2015. Our goal on that day was to see their rotating exhibit on trilobites, fossilized ancient marine animals. We were impressed with the size and the quality of the exhibits and have returned to this site to see other rotating exhibits, including a Chinese minerals exhibit. And during our exploration of the Science Center, we also spent time in the Mineral Museum on the lower level. We spent hours viewing the large variety of specimens, taking photos of the beautiful ones, trying to decide which one was our favorite, and admiring the large meteorite. This impressive collection, focused primarily on Arizona minerals, can currently be seen at the Alfie Norville Gem and Mineral Museum in the historic Pima County Courthouse, which is located at 115 North Church Avenue. On to the Environment and Natural Resources 2 building, located on East Lowell Street, is a structure that deserves to be explored. Designed to be a model of sustainable building practices and energy savings, it uses daylight, harvests and reuses almost all of the water that falls on site, and uses a chilled beam cooling system. The outside of the structure is shaded with metal fins, and its wavy interior courtyard is meant to resemble a slot canyon. We visited the site in February of 2020, and we were impressed by the openness of the courtyard and its unique design. We explored all five floors and found dozens of bright green hanging plants, dozens of small gardens tucked away in the design and dirt areas with decorative rocks, tables, benches, and a big variety of trees. The wave railings and walkways created an unfamiliar yet intriguing atmosphere. And the Desert Laboratory at Tumamoc Hill, which is listed on the NRHP, was founded in 1903 by the Carnegie Institution. This 860-acre ecological preserve and historical biological facility, which is located at 1675 West Anklam Road in Tucson, is managed by the U of A in partnership with Pima County. The research project monitors the growth, the health, and the resilience of native desert plants, including the saguaro cactus. We visited this site in July of 2019 as part of a tour with the Old Pueblo Archaeology Center. The historic stone buildings containing basalt rocks were well maintained and are still being used. In the main building, we were introduced to the research being conducted on site, and were informed that there is a library that can be accessed by the public with advance reservations. We toured the greenhouse and an outbuilding that contained several woolly mammoth fossils, very interesting and educational tour. And the Center for Creative Photography, located on North Olive Road, it was established in 1975 as a research facility and an archival repository. The photography collection is estimated to be as large as 80,000 images from more than 2,000 photographers. The gallery is open to the public, and its ever-changing exhibits feature a variety of photographic art. We visited this gallery on two occasions, to view an exhibit featuring the photography of Ansel Adams and one of the founders of the center, and to view an exhibit of Linda McCartney photos taken at their family ranch in the Tucson area. And the Fred Fox School of Music, also located on North Olive Road, is ranked among the finest institutions of higher education in music. Throughout the school year, the school offers musical performances in their music hall. The performances that are open to the public, varying including jazz, opera, percussion, organ, mariachi, and steel pan, just to name a few. Brochures listing upcoming events are available at the music school and online. On occasion, we have attended a student recital with instrumental performances and a choral group. We were impressed with the musical talent. On the U of A campus, we found an abundance of interesting and impressive artwork. According to the Arizona Daily Star, the U of A is home to more than 40 public art pieces, including murals. And during our exploration of the campus, we found several of the eye-catching and abstract art pieces in various locations. For those interested in discovering the art, the University of Arizona Museum of Art offers free monthly art tours through April. Information about the tours can be found online. And through the years, the U of A has been a great resource for us. We've learned about the history of Arizona, met several knowledgeable people, been introduced to the new ideas, attended several outstanding performances, viewed impressive artwork, met some of our favorite authors, and have purchased dozens of books at the Festival of Books. For those who wish to explore the university campus, there are several eating establishments and resting spots on the campus and in surrounding neighborhoods. So go out, have fun exploring a beautiful campus. There's a movement underway to replace the entire board of the Green Valley Villas East Condo Association. The reason? Another dues increase. Board President Mike Buswell understands that people are upset that dues are rising again, and he's not particularly happy about it either. But he says the board has no choice. The cost of insurance, which covers the Villas' common areas, buildings, and air conditioners, for example, jumped from about $45,000 in 2021 to $405,500 this year, he said. That's an 800% increase in just 4 years. Ever since the deadly June 2021 collapse of Champlain Towers South Condominium Complex in Surfside, Florida, Buswell has said that insurance rates have skyrocketed. According to the Congressional Joint Economic Committee, wildfires, hurricanes, floods, drought, and excessive heat are also making home insurance more expensive and are leading some insurance companies to stop offering plans altogether in some states. Citing the Insurance Information Institute and National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, the JEC reported last year that the insured losses in the United States had more than quintupled since 2009. Losses reached $15 billion in 2023. Buswell said that last year, VIA's East dues increased from $358 to $378 per month, and in 2026, they're increasing to $415. In addition to raising fees, the association has had to block or dial back on some planning improvements, such as sewer lines. They're now replacing them when the damage is discovered, he said. VIA's West across La Quinada will be paying the same rate in the new year. When you're trying to plan improvements, it's a challenge. And at the same time, we're trying to not to get in the pockets of the people any more than we have to, Buswell said. He feels bad for the property owners, but said it's the association's responsibility to retain the value of the property and to keep it safe. We're trying to do the right thing by everybody, and that's a difficult thing to do because you're always going to have somebody unhappy about your decision, he said. So the hope is that we're making the most cogent decision that's based on professionals that we go to for information and do the right thing by the people and their investments. The Green Valley Council Executive Director Dave McAllister Romo is familiar with what's going on in the insurance and HOA world. He recently read an article that mentioned the condo collapse in Florida, but it was really about 12 homeowners who were being sued for not paying their deductibles following a huge hailstorm in Colorado Springs. That damage came to $3.5 million. The deductible was $3.1 million, or $20,000 per homeowner. Those who were suing claimed that under the terms of their HOA contracts, their deductible is capped at $10,000. Clearly, the issue of rising HOA fees is not unique to Green Valley, Romo said. But what really makes it unique for Green Valley is how it adversely impacts our residents, because as a community of older adults, we have a lot of our residents who live on pensions or disability or Social Security income, you know, very fixed sources of income, he said. And that's a reading of the Green Valley News here on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Mark DeGroft with you. Thank you so much for listening. Have yourself a good rest of your week. I'll be back on Wednesday. Till then, take care.